Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Oregon Senator Bill Hansel, Republican from Athena. Much to discuss this morning, and we will begin that conversation right after these words, so stay with us.
The Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store, is proud to be part of this great community and part of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We stand up when we hear the national anthem, put our hands on our hearts when we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and we thank God for everything He has given us. If you feel the same way, stop by and say hi to your neighbors at the Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store. God bless America, God bless you, and God bless beer.
Let's get back to more live and local news from the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning, Dan Tessman, your host here, and my guest this morning is Oregon Senator Bill Hansel. He's joining me via telephone, Republican from Athena. And Senator, thanks for taking some time with us this morning.
Here, thank you.
Well, listen, Republicans have said that they'll be back in session to pass a budget and bills that are bipartisan in nature on June 25th. Senator, explain why waiting until then does not delay the budget that the legislature is expected to approve.
Well, first of all, that's the very latest that we would be coming back. We're in negotiation right now, so there's always a possibility, and I think a very realistic one, that we will be back before that. But at the very least, we will be there at the very end to pass the budget and other bills. That would be on the docket. But there's only one requirement. You might find it interesting in the Oregon Constitution that the legislature must do. And that is to prepare and pass a budget for the state government. It's a biennial budget for 2 years. We're in the process of putting that together, even as we speak this morning. The Joint Ways and Means Committee is the budget committee for the legislature. I've had the privilege of serving on it since my freshman year in the legislature. And usually we really start cranking up the number crunching and the revenue and the prospective possible revenue, projected revenue on the May revenue forecast, which came out last week. It was a pretty rosy one. There was $1.8 billion more than to work with than had been anticipated. So right now we're factoring in that additional revenue, working through all the different budgets. Subcommittees are meeting of the budget committee. So we're putting that together. We'll have a balanced budget. We have to by our Constitution. And right now we're looking at, I think in the governor's proposed budget, there was like $32.1 billion in general fund and lottery bond. And that doesn't include everything that other outside funds like federal funding and some of our departments are totally run on the federal funds. So we can easily, the budget will be ready to go, even if we wait till the very end. But we can pass the budget. We'll suspend the rules and a number of things. And so that's why we're stating that. We want to make it clear. It is not our intent to shut down the government. We will get a budget passed, and depending upon how soon we reconvene, which will be dependent upon negotiations that are going on right now, will affect the different opportunities and bills that we'll have to pass.
You are asking the Senate to obey the law and their own rules that require descriptions of bills be understandable to the general public. They are choosing to ignore that law. Does that mean that every bill that's passed over several decades could be questioned legally?
You know, that's a good question. What developed was that there an ORS 171.134. It was the bill passed in 1979. And it's actually referred to in Senate rules by reference. In Article 13.02 in the rules that we adopted, and similar to the ones on the House as well, you adopt the rules for how you're going to run the Senate or run the House. They differ a little bit, but generally they're pretty consistent. And it references this ORF, 171.134. And nobody paid any attention to it. And it's never been brought up in my 11 years, I should say, in the Senate. But one of our staff said, what is that? And began to reference it and found out that it was a bill that was passed in 1979. And he got the tapes and began to look at it, just exactly what is this provision. It was sponsored by several individuals that later on became a statewide elected office. Dave Pronemeyer was one of the sponsors of it. He eventually, as we know, became Attorney General. Ted Kulongoski, who became eventually governor, he was a Democrat sponsor of it. And basically what it said, we need to make sure in transparency and that people, the citizens, can understand what these bills are. It had to do with the explanation, the summary, not the bill itself. The bill could be as complicated as it can possibly be, and many of them are just by this nature. But the explanation had to meet a readability scale. And they referenced a scale that was under the name of FLESH, F-L-E-S-C-H. Evidently, some gentleman by the name of FLESH was the one that put it together. You can go on Microsoft. It's very easily accessible. But what you do is that it is able to, a variety of ways, I don't know all the details of it, but determine on a scale of 0 to 100 where it, the understanding, the level of the readability of that is. For example, the the legislation referred that it has to be at least 60 on the FLESH scale. Well, when you look at the scale itself, 0 is PhD level, 100 would be pretty rudimentary, but 60 falls in right around freshman, high school, 8th grade level reading skill level. So the bills had to do that. Well, we had not, somewhere in the process, over time, that fell away. Nobody was doing it. Nobody had thought about it, and it's pretty simple to do. So when we brought it up, our goal was to follow the law from this point on, not go back, not even bills that we'd passed already. There were dozens of those were. But now that we knew that there was this violation that we were not following, some of the bills did just on their own, the readability was there. So we brought it to the attention of the president of the Senate on the floor. He recessed till 5 o'clock that night to discuss it. They agreed that, hey, that is there. We have not been following it. But basically, they got a legal opinion that said we don't have to follow it because we have the majority of votes. So we found that it didn't make any sense to us. And all we were asking is that from this point on, bills that are still in the process, anything that came new, you need to have follow the law, follow the ORF, follow our own Senate rules. And at this point, they've not been willing to do that. So that's part of the discussion that's going on right now, the negotiations, that these are our rules, and we, as anybody else, should follow them. And that's part of the reason why we needed to get to the negotiating table. And we're there, and we're working on it.
Now, you're in Salem now, as are many of your fellow Republican senators. This isn't really the walkout it had been called, but rather a denial of quorum. Tell us about how you are working in spite of not attending sessions.
Well, you're absolutely right. We didn't go to Idaho. We didn't leave the state. The governor isn't issuing the state police to bring us in. It really is. We continue to work. I was there at 7 yesterday morning in my office fielding a call with Blue Mountain Community College and constituents back home. I'm there every afternoon. I'm there. The only time I'm not there and my colleagues are when the floor session is called to order, which is at 10:30 in the morning. Normal procedure, and we have two Republicans actually that are on the floor, and we the quorum is two-thirds of the body, and so a 30-member body needs 20 on the floor in order to conduct business. It's a pretty standard parliamentary procedure. Most organizations do have a quorum needed, and that creates the reason for that, I think, parliamentary-wise, going back to my FFA, Robert's Rules of Order, and we, although we operate on a Mason's Rules of Order, is that it would it prohibits a small minority being able to conduct business in the cases when people, you know, the majority of the people aren't there. So it requires two-thirds, that is 20 people need to be present before business can be conducted. That's what the quorum requires. So the normal procedure has been they opened it up. The quorum is not present, so they will call they will make the call of the Senate. They'll bar the doors figuratively, and no one can leave the floor. And the sergeant of arms goes throughout the building to see if any of the senators happen to be on a telephone call or in their offices or need to be brought back to the floor. When it comes back and they were unable to find any of the missing senators, then they take off the call of the Senate and then adjourn. So that usually takes about a half an hour or so, and they adjourn to a time specific for the next meeting or next floor session. So that's what a quorum is. I'm in every afternoon. I'm going to committee meetings. I'm working on committee's rules meets in the afternoon, as does my subcommittee of Ways and Means. I'll be tomorrow at full Ways and Means. So we're all working. We're all taking constituent calls, correspondence, attending the committees that we've been assigned to, with the exception of just that a brief time in the morning when the session meets. And that's what denying quorum is about. That was the only way we could get, we felt left, that we could get people to the negotiating table, and it appears to be working.
All right, talking to Oregon Senator Bill Hansel this morning. More to come, so stay with us.
Don't you just hate it when you wake up on a beautiful morning at a serene mountain lake and find a flat tire on your RV, your pickup, or boat trailer? Hi, Scott here with Pendleton Tire and Auto. Stop by and let us check your RV or boat tires to give you an honest assessment of the condition of your tires. We'll also check your wheel bearings and lights for free. If you need new tires, we have them in stock. By the way, how's your AC working? The summer heat's coming. Let's make sure you keep your cool this summer. Trust what you love to Pendleton Tire and Auto. Eastgate Pendleton, 276-2774.
Breaking news! The Port of Wawa and its partner Alaska Airlines are excited to announce the return of the second round-trip flight between Walla Walla and Seattle. This second flight commences on September 6, 2023 at the Walla Walla Regional Airport with an early a.m. departure and a late p.m. arrival. Let's rally around this expanded air service and fly Walla Walla. Book your tickets today at alaskaair.com. Remember, free parking.
At McKay Creek Estates, every day brings something new and exciting for our residents. We're so much more than bingo. From day trips, poker nights, to manicures and happy hours, our team works hard to create moments that bring residents joy and fulfillment. We invite you to come visit and experience the fun for yourself as we celebrate life at every age. For more information, visit prestigecare.com/McKay Creek. Again, that's prestigecare.com/McKay Creek.
When someone loses a loved one, they really need support from their friends. Here is Mike Turner with Pendleton Pioneer Chapel to talk about how you can help.
The best thing to do if you know somebody that's had a loss is just talk to them. Let them know that you're there for them. You don't have to avoid them. You don't have to try to come up with something that's scripted. Just be their friend. Knowing that you're there means the world to them.
Pendleton Pioneer Chapel at 131 Southeast Byers Avenue in Pendleton.
Hamley Steakhouse and Saloon is now open for lunch. This downtown iconic steakhouse is the perfect setting for business lunches, as well as a convenient gathering place for family and friends. Have your lunch order ready when you arrive, or take it to go with Hamley.com online ordering. Our expanded lunch menu features the popular Wild Horse Wapiti Elk Burger. Plus, Wild Horse Club Wild members receive up to 15% off your menu selection. See you at Hamley's, now serving lunch Tuesday through Saturday, corner of Court and Main, Pendleton.
Local news and issues that affect you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Oregon Senator Bill Hansel. And Senator, word is that the Democrat leadership in the Senate felt the Republicans would fold once enough members were approaching the 10 unexcused absences that would mean they can't run for re-election. Senator, tell us what your fellow Republicans feel about that.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct that time has, as it has progressed, have felt that way. When we had the first quorum denial, they immediately scheduled meetings on the weekends. They made it very, they did away with any excused absences. That weekend, I had a graduation of our oldest granddaughter in San Diego, and I got permission to attend the graduation. I did the process to get the excused absence. I'm literally walking across campus on the way to the venue when my chief of staff called me and said, just want you to know that the president of the Senate has rescinded his excused absences. And so that whole weekend, which we've never met on the weekend this early in the session, in fact, hardly ever at all, but I gathered a bunch of unexcused absences after the fact, after it was reversed, which seemed to me to be pretty, what's the word, petty, I guess it would be. But I want to say that it was a decision that each one of my colleagues and I had to make individually and did make individually. Now, I'll be perfectly upfront. I had already announced, as probably everyone that's listening knows, that I was not going to seek re-election. So several months ago. And so my accruing unexcused absences and the penalty that measure that was passed in November would bestow upon us, it doesn't going to affect me one way or the other. But it was still something that each one of us had to make the decision. There was no arm twisting. There was no heavy handedness. But each one of us felt that the issues were so important to them, each of us individual, to ourselves, to our constituents, to Oregon, that we were willing to make the sacrifice if that's what it took. We were willing to give up our political careers to take a stand for what we believe in, and knowing full well what the price would have been, it would be that we would have to pay. Doesn't mean that we're not going to challenge it in court, but part of the situation is you can't challenge something in court until you're agreed. So we had to reach the thing, but we considered the price and we did what we felt was the right thing to do. And it became evident the majority party never expected us to do that. They were waiting, and for one of us, it would only take one to change their mind, to peel us off. Believe me, they tried, as did the governor. But we just felt that we'd taken a stand, and the cost, we considered it, the price we were willing to pay for it. And it was our political careers. Now, that may be reversed in a court case. I have no idea. But regardless, we took that stand, and I think it caught them off totally by surprise.
There are two key pieces of legislation that your members are opposed to enough to risk their political careers. One is the perceived threat to the Second Amendment with even more gun control measures. Explain that to us.
Well, it seems like the Portland-led coalitions of the opposition party continue to have to, you know, just the Second Amendment rights, which otherwise are known as gun control, they just keep adding and adding and adding. And it, this time there were three bills in the House that they combined in 2005, which one, for example, would outlaw anybody under the age of 21 to even be able to own a gun. And it, you know, you can go in the service at 18 and carry weapons. You can carry guns anywhere, any other state. I mean, just it gets to the point where you just have to say enough is enough. The gun control amendment that came out, I forget that, I think it's 114 in the last voting initiative petition. It's in the courts right now. It's progressing through. We anticipate it'll be declared unconstitutional, especially when the Supreme Court refused to do an injunction on it. The Supreme Court of Oregon, I should say. But the law of the land, the Constitution, it just we just reached a point. Hey, that's one of the bills that we need to make sure if this is what it takes to kill it, we're willing to do it.
The other bill would grant unprecedented rights to those under the age of 18 for both reproductive and gender-affirming rights. Explain why your party sees that as an erosion of parental rights.
Well, what we're doing, you know, it's interesting to me that most school-based health clinics or just schools themselves, if they feel your child needs an aspirin, they need to get permission from the parents in order to give that aspirin to the student. If they don't get it, they can't give it. And yet, when we come to such life-changing issues such as abortion, such as transgender affirmation, where you begin to do puberty blocking and hair removal and all sorts of stuff like that, the parents are excluded. They're not brought into the discussion. They can get that in teenagers when they need mom and dad the most for some of these major decisions in life are being denied legally from having from anybody like a parent being able to do it. I didn't talk to him myself, but I had a pediatrician from the district contact, and I think he was actually in the office, talk to my staff, and he does gender-affirming care, as they call it, for transgeneration. And he said, we need to pass 3002 because parents just get in the way. And that's exactly why we need to stop 3202, because 2002. That because parents should be involved. They should be there, and especially for the teenagers going through puberty, going through changes in their bodies and their thinking and their minds, their brains. I was talking to my wife and I were looking for a car over the weekend and in the district, and we talked to one of the folks there at the car dealer, and we were talking about some of these issues, and he mentioned to me, he said, "Man, I sure appreciate your stance. When I was 3 years old, I wanted to be a dog." So people's thoughts and processes as they're developing, we need to protect that. And the parents, if probably more than any other time in a child's life, need to be involved in some of these life-altering and changing decisions. So, yeah, this revolves around parental involvement and the sanctity of the family. Now, I realize there's some bad parents out there. There's some situations where incest has occurred. We can carve that out. We can figure out ways to do that. Other states, and, you know, I don't think anybody is opposed to doing that. But this bill is just so far to the progressive agenda out there that it, too, became a bill that we felt we needed to take a stand on.
Well, that brings me to my next question. People raise the issue that there are some parents who are bad parents and their children need protections. Why not deal with those parents in more finely tuned legislation?
I agree. We can do that. But 2002 does not do that, and there wasn't any opportunity to even do it, to begin to discuss it. In fact, to show you the process of how fast it was moving through the legislature, it didn't even have a hearing. It wasn't even, there was no scheduled hearing for the public to weigh in when the bill came to the Senate for discussion. The way they, the proponents of the bill did it, they had it in the healthcare committee in the House. There was testimony taken there, limited but taken. It was then referred to the Ways and Means. There was some discussion there, very limited. That was the only time that those we Republicans that were on Ways and Means had a chance to discuss it from the Senate side. We asked questions that the legislative council, the lawyers that brought this bill, that wrote the bill, didn't have answers for. Well, if they didn't have answers for it, why are we even considering it at this point without getting the answers? It then went back, it passed out on a straight party line, and it went back to the House for discussion. And there was a long debate in the House, and then went directly to the, and passed on pretty much a party line vote. I think there was one Republican House member that voted for it, and then it came over to the Senate floor. No public hearing on the Senate side. Nobody was able to say anything. No opportunities to maybe amend it in a committee structure. So that was another reason. The process was not right. It was denying the people of Oregon another chance for public input and maybe some possibility for amendments. And therefore, we did what we had to do.
All right. Well, we have come to the end of our time this morning, Senator. Oregon Senator Bill Hansel, Republican from Athena, my guest. I really do appreciate you agreeing to be our guest this morning and taking the time.
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure was mine.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. Everybody have a terrific Thursday. We will be back again tomorrow, and Pendleton Fire Chief Jim Critchley will be my guest. Everybody have a great day.
For local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.